So I have a little sermon for y'all. I never preached from my dining room before. So a person born blind from birth has never seen the world as it is. How might a person who has never been able to see before explain the difference between, say, the color red and the color blue? Or what would the Smoky Mountains look like to a person who was born blind and suddenly received their sight? Would a person who was suddenly plunged into the world of sight experience the brilliance of light as an overwhelming joy worthy of celebration? Or might they experience it as an abrupt throbbing pain and a cause for fear? We have all certainly been plunged into a whole new world these past couple of weeks, and our eyes are still adjusting to this new reality. I think we've all felt a variety of emotions ranging from pain and fear, but also hope and gratitude as well. In our gospel reading this morning, Jesus is walking along. He encounters a man that is born blind. Sensing the tragedy of this man's situation, the disciples wonder why this happened to him. Whose sin caused his blindness, they ask. But Jesus was quick to point out that it was neither this man's sins nor his parents' sins that caused his affliction. He said, this person was born blind so that God's work might be revealed in him, which is a curious phrase. Did God cause this to happen in order that God's glory, God's work might be revealed? But then Jesus immediately spits on the ground and makes mud and puts it on the man's eyes and told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, which he did. And then he came back being able to see. There's a whole lot going on in this story as it is told. The first clue was in the strange phrase that I just mentioned, which Jesus refers to God's works being revealed. When were God's works first revealed? Genesis, of course, creation. And then Jesus makes mud. Again, Genesis. What was Adam made of? The dust of the earth. If this man can't see and his disability from birth, somehow his creation got interrupted. And that was the problem. The solution was to take a little of this dust from which we are all made, mix it with a little saliva from Jesus, who is the Christ, God, the Creator incarnate, and apply it to his eyes so that his creation, his being might be completed. The story turns then to show that the ones who claimed to be the leaders and teachers were themselves the ones who were truly blind because they mistook the bridge of their religious practice as the destination. The Sabbath, the dietary laws, the prayers, the sacrifices at the temple all had the religious purpose of uniting the people of God to the one and to one another as one body. But when God showed up in the flesh and began to heal the broken creation by literally remaking this blind man again in the same way that he did Adam in the Garden of Eden, they did not recognize God. They then proved themselves the ones that were really blind all along by casting this man who had been made whole out of their own community, which is exactly the opposite thing that their religious practice intended. Being able to see has taken on a deeper meaning in the gospel way of seeing that now includes perceiving how humans stratify themselves, how we exclude the vulnerable and resist seeing the truth in ourselves and in our world. This man who once was blind and now can see had a second encounter with Jesus after he was kicked out of the town. Our scripture gospel lesson says that Jesus heard that they had driven him out, and when he found him again, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And he answered, "Who is this, sir? Tell me so that I may believe in him." And Jesus said to him, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. This is the whole gospel, that God came into the world to save sinners, to heal the broken creation through renewal, the renewal of sight for the blind, the renewal of our hearts and minds to see God at work, the renewal of his own body into which we are born again. The proclamation of God's new kingdom is nothing short of a revolutionary way that we both see and live in this world, because God is calling us into that work of renewal and reconciliation, as well as being a part of that body. As then, as though to himself, Jesus says, "I came into the world for judgment, so that those who do not see may see, and those who do see may become blind." The man who couldn't see now sees clearly, and sees more than color and form. He sees things hidden from the foundation of the world. He sees the way the world actually works. Today, we are physically separated from one another. We can't gather around the Lord's table as we normally would on Sunday morning. Today, we are forced into an exile of sorts, an exile that may very well last a lot longer than these weeks of Lent and well into Easter. Today, we cannot break bread together. But is God any less present to us this Sunday morning than on other Sundays? Is the table at the front of the church not linked to the tables we are sitting around this morning in our own homes? The point of the Eucharist is not the changing of bread and wine. The point of the Eucharist is the changing of you and me. The conversion, the turning, the restoring of our hearts and our souls to God. Is God unable to change us without bread and wine? Does the recognition of the body of Christ in bread and wine not begin and end with a recognition that we are the body of Christ born at baptism? And today, even though we cannot break the sacred bread together, might God be able to open our eyes to see God working in us, perhaps especially now that we fast from the Eucharist itself? Believe me, the very thought that we might not be able to celebrate the great feast of feasts at Easter together around the table at St. James makes me weep. But was Christ not raised from the dead alone in the tomb? This year, we walk the way of the cross in a way that the church has never experienced before. This year, we walk that lonely road, keenly aware of its solitude. But through this extended Lent, may God also open our eyes to perceive the systems of injustice at work in this world, to see the real pain of isolation, of rejection and abandonment of those who society labels as sinners, as unclean, unworthy, or deficient. We have all been plunged into a Lent that we didn't expect, and our Lord leads us through the darkness that we might see things hidden since the foundation of the world. Take this time to deepen your own personal prayer life. Take this time to open the eyes of your heart and to pay attention to those who are suffering silently all around us. But most of all, during this time of uncertainty, open your eyes to God's presence within you and cast your worries, your anxieties, your fears on Him. We will undoubtedly face death itself in these coming weeks, but do not be afraid. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? Thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ.